Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I was going to say happy Rhythm Section week because the Rhythm Section is out on VOD and I haven't seen it and Lindsay isn't interested. But actually, happy Fiona Apple Day.
Wait, Fiona Apple's album's out today?
Friday.
Oh.
As the listeners are listening. I'm staying up. I'm listening to it at midnight. I'm doing it.
Are you really?
I'm going to do it. I think that'll be fun. It'll be like an activity.
I mean, it's definitely an activity. I just didn't know Fiona Apple meant that much to you in terms of like the stay up.
I normally wouldn't.
It's your Chromatica.
Chromatica's Chromatica. I think because of Chromatica, I'm like more excited about this than I would have been.
I love an activity. Don't get me wrong. That's a great activity for Friday. Stay up.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe up. Like chill with a friend on whatever, have a little call, yeah. And then like stay up till midnight and fucking listen to Fiona Apple until 1 a.m.
Ugh. I think it's going to be really good. And it's called Fetch the Bolt Cutters, which sort of is even more relevant in this era of quarantine because I feel locked up in here. Like, fetch the bolt cutters, you know?
No, I was just thinking about how important it is for artists to keep releasing music at this mm-hmm. time. And mm-hmm. for Blake Lively's to keep releasing VOD, movies at this time.
I realized I don't really even remember what the Rhythm Section is. I just know that it was a big flop and that she fights, like you said, and Jude Law's there too.
That's the thing. If it was at all remotely appealing in terms of like anything, I would still want to watch a flop starring Blake Lively, but it looks mm-hmm. like just like it looks like a knockoff of that Jennifer Garner TV show. What was it called?
Alias?
It looks like Alias meets like floppy bagged wigs and like Jude Law with like his like contagion teeth, you know? I don't know. Just a guess. But do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
It looks like it's going to be something I think I will love, but then it's just fighting the whole time and I'm like mm-hmm. bored.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well here's a A or B for you. The Rhythm Section or Trolls World Tour.
Come on.
What would you rather watch? Spend 90 minutes.
I'd rather watch the Rhythm Section. I don't need to watch like a Kids Bop Trolls combo.
I feel like the more you think about it, the more you might be interested in the Kids Bop Trolls.
I was reading that Trolls is about genres fighting. It's like, I'm rock, I'm hip hop, I'm classic rock, okay, not glass. I'm yeah. pop. I'm like whatever, and they're all like fighting.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Is that what it's about?
Okay. Yeah. Because there's,
you know, I'd watch
Wikipedia.
That.
There's techno trolls. There's pop trolls. There's funk trolls. There's rock trolls. Which troll would you be?
I think I'd be a pop troll.
I'm the Joanne era Lady Gaga troll.
You certainly are a troll of that album. Every time we mention Joanne in a certain subset of friends, it starts from being like a joke about Joanne to being an in-depth conversation, like talking.
Like what happened yesterday.
Yeah, literally talking about like the highs and lows of Joanne, the probability of its success, like where she went wrong, like what we can do next time. Like what?
That began with a text that was like, beep, boop, fart, Joanne, Joanne, remember Joanne? And then
it was
like,
no, track 10, like Angel Down is not.
The thing about Lady Gaga is that she's not a singles artist.
For literally she's an album artist. 30 minutes. And it's just the same conversation we've had like maybe 12 times about Joanne.
Joanne's ghost is like, let me rest peacefully, please.
Gaga's like,
don't you think Joanne is sick of it by this point? It's just like, oh my God.
You think
let me
Joanne...
have a moment's peace in the afterlife. Oh.
I mean, it's either Tony Bennett or Joanne. You choose. Choose your fighter.
But Tony Bennett is alive.
Yeah, well, he also would like to be left in peace. Just kidding.
Okay.
Just kidding. He's fine. He loves
you are listening
it.
To Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We have a lot of comments this week, so we have to just start off right away because there's a lot to get through right away at Eric.
Right away, right away, right away.
Just right away.
Please just start off right away.
Hi, Who Weekly. Meeting time. I'm listening to your podcast right now and I had to pause it because you're talking about Tyra Banks's, what you eat in a day, Harper's Bazaar, I believe, video. And you said that you should never believe a celebrity when they tell you what to eat. And that reminded me of two things. One, if you watch Kelly Ripa's video, I would definitely believe what she eats because it's almost nothing. It is truly what you'd actually think you would eat. Anyway, women don't belong in balloons.
I heard this call and was like, okay, cool. I haven't seen the Kelly Ripa one. And to be honest, I haven't seen many of these because I'm not really subscribed to Harper's Bazaar food content, although I am now. I wasn't right. until yesterday, but now right. I'm like fully going to watch all of them. So Kelly Ripa's arguably stranger than Tyra Banks is.
Well, you said this to me. What did you say about it yesterday? You were like, so many people do what I eat in a day or what I eat in a week. And you can tell it's kind of cobbled together, made up and just like mm-hmm. elaborated too much that it's like not really what they ate. Kelly yeah. Ripa's is so exact, so crazy, so regimented and so painful seeming that you mm-hmm. can tell it's exactly what she eats in a day because nobody would ever make this up.
Exactly. And it just keeps going. Like for at one point she's like, well, I start by having a giant glass of water with spirulina powder in it. And then she'll be like,
what's your favorite thing that she eats? Because my favorite thing is a chocolate covered almond, maybe for dessert. One chocolate covered almond or a chia pudding
or chocolate covered cashews. I don't know that she says like singular or just one chocolate covered almond, but the line that says I don't believe in cheat days because they just lead to cheat lifestyles was like was alarming.
I try not to have that many cheat meals because cheat meals leads to sort of like a cheat lifestyle.
She also says I'm not willing to get ready, so I stay ready, and she means like her body, like her she means like she She's like, if this falls into disarray, I'm not getting back to this place.
I mean, I do appreciate the honesty because it's like, yeah, your job is to,
right.
you know, look a certain way on camera.
Right.
So I get it and I get the pressures that come with that being your job. But to see it actually
yeah,
spoken
it's depressing.
In like not uncertain terms is really alarming. Wait, this part that killed you.
Then I host my morning show. You're going to say, Kelly, do you eat anything? Not before I talk on the air. So I don't have any sort of chewing food before I talk on the air.
Every time she says chewing food, I freak out.
Chewing food.
And to be fair, if I also had to talk on the air before 8 a.m. or get up before 8 a.m. and be on TV, it's not the worst idea to not eat what she says is chewing food.
Chewing food.
I think she means because you get gassy if you chew food.
Chewing food.
It lets air into your tummy. Right? Is that what she's saying?
I have no idea.
I think that's actually like a smart idea. That's not even the craziest part.
I don't understand anything about this lifestyle. But if you ask my favorite thing that she eats in a day, is
yeah.
she has a salad every day for lunch. And then at dinner... Dinner, she says, I have the same salad, only smaller. And then she adds in a little bit of vegetable protein. Wait, I'm going to get the actual, like, I have the same salad, only smaller.
What does she do when she goes to a restaurant?
For dinner, I have usually a smaller version of the same salad that I had for lunch.
I guess my question is, like, as somebody who treasures going out to dinner now more than ever, in this mm-hmm. time, now more than ever, if I was famous, I understand that it's difficult to keep yourself camera ready and it's very stressful and whatever, especially for a woman over a certain age or whatever. But my point is like the best part about being somewhat famous is free food and free restaurants and free dinner and any type of like.
Even if you're paying, you get to go to whatever restaurant you want.
Sure, sure. Whatever. You're right. But just like the abundance of delicious food around every corner would be just delightful. I know. Or LA. Or what doesn't matter. My point is that I don't get how she's consistently eating salads for dinner and lunch when she's out and about, you know. That's crazy to me. It's like, oh no, I don't want like your food. I would love to order my same small salad, smaller than lunch though, please. And the waiter's like, what?
Chewing food.
Okay, I think as she's like actually describing what she eats in a day in detail in front of a camera, alarm bells start going off in her head where she's like, this sounds weird, this sounds weird. And so at the end she starts saying, yeah, like she gets kind of defensive and she's like,
she's,
you know,
like, ladies, I eat cake on my birthday.
Cake for my for my birthday.
For my birthday.
I like cookies on Christmas.
At
it's
Christmas.
Like, whoa.
On my birthday, will I have cake? Of course, I'm not a monster. At Christmas, do I eat cookies? Yes, I'm a human being.
But that's the thing. It's, I would take this any day over Tyra's because Tyra's is like a performance art piece based around a bagel that you know she's not really eating or that she is also eating once a year on her birthday or for Christmas or whatever, when this is like the most realistic thing I've ever heard about a celebrity.
No, you're right. At least we are learning something about Kelly. Like, there is an authenticity there that was not in Tyra's. So it's like, what's the point of revealing something if it's not true? Tyra's like, I take the bagel and I scoop it up.
It's like, no, you don't. Kelly Ripa's like, I eat two small salads and a and a nut.
No, she eats one small salad and one slightly smaller salad.
And a nut. A nut.
The way she talks about nuts in this video, it's like sexual.
Oh, she's
like,
cashews. Oh. I'll add cashews.
But then I have a handful of raw cashews, and you're like, Kelly.
Handfuls of nuts, lots of raw cashews, lots of raw almonds, lots of raw pistachios. I never eat more than a handful, but I have several handfuls a day.
Now I'm thinking about the video from Laura Prepon where Laura Prepon is like, let's make oatmeal together. And Ryan is making oatmeal and Kelly's like, no, I'm staying in the bedroom.
Right.
Well, I will not be she making oats.
She doesn't eat oatmeal. That doesn't go into her diet. She eats a small salad, a big salad, and a nut.
What I will indulge in is like a delicious chocolate-covered almond or chocolate-covered cashew, some sort of like, so I still feel like there's something healthy in there.
Oh, wait, it
one
is singular.
One almond. She eats one almond. What was the joke when President Obama was like, I eat 2 to 3 almonds or something?
8 to 12?
8 to 12 almonds. To be fair, that probably is the recommended amount of almonds that you're supposed
7
to eat.
Almonds.
Yeah. 7 almonds.
But then he said, I don't really eat 7 almonds every night.
Okay, the point is that Kelly Ripa eats one chocolate-covered almond. Okay?
Handfuls of nuts.
She's kind of a balm to the rest of the morning show crew.
Yes.
In terms of other hosts. I don't watch her show. I don't care for Ryan. I don't really think he is anything special. But she is one of those personalities, aside from the thing where she was like, I miss my Botox. Remember that? Although I genuinely think that was a joke. That was just something that we read as a headline and we're like, are you kidding me? But she obviously said it as a joke. Right. Yeah. Anyways.
But no, I appreciate that she's not really trying to pretend she's anything but what she is.
She's like, have you seen my sexy husband? Okay. I'm done.
After we fuck, we each have one chocolate covered almond. Next call. I love this call.
Chewing food. Handfuls of nuts. Chewing food. Handfuls of nuts. Chewing food. Handfuls of nuts.
Hi, Lizzie Barbie. Love Barbie's rant about how we've been putting oatmeal in since the beginning of time. There's actual archaeological evidence of this. They found bog bodies, so bodies that have been preserved like in a bog in Ireland, kind of like Tom Cruise in Rue the Vampire. And they had oatmeal in their stomachs that had nuts put in it. Anyway, yeah, that's it. Okay. Crunch, crunch, bye.
The scientists found bog bodies with oatmeal in the stomachs.
Chewing food.
Along with nuts.
Handfuls of nuts.
I love in this call is she's going on and on. She's realizing how ridiculous the call is. The bog bodies. Oh, God. Bog bodies filled with oatmeal.
Vesuvius is exploding, and I'm in Pompeii being like, so, if you prefer a more savory oatmeal, I like adding
Talk about overnight oats. They were like in the, they were in the body. They were in the bog body overnight.
Over many nights. Okay, can we move on? Because there's nothing really else to funny. Say.
Imagining me slowly descending into the bog, showing is people how funny? To prepare a savory
oat. Is it funny?
How did they get in the bog? Like what?
The bodies?
Like the bodies that are in the bogs that are in the peat.
I think the bog went around them.
Yeah.
Don't call and correct us. I will not
But to preserve the full body, they didn't have much time to decompose. So how did the bog take in the body?
This is not really they what threw this the podcast body in the is bog? About. No, I don't think that they anyone moved bodies into bogs. Maybe they did. Maybe that was where they...
Or were they in the bogs because that's where they were disposed?
Who do you think you're asking?
I don't really. I'm not. What I'm am not I, an sure archaeologist? You really care. Who am I, Indiana Jones?
That's your number one example of an archaeologist?
Name another archaeologist. I couldn't name one other archaeologist.
Jurassic Park. Laura Dern.
No, well, her name is Ellie Sattler. Her name is Dr. Ellie Sattler.
Is she an archaeologist or just a paleontologist?
Paleontologist. Yeah, they were Exactly, they were paleontologists. Mm, name another archaeologist.
See Da Vinci Code? I think Da Vinci Code guy was an archaeologist. Robert Langdon,
let's see if Robert... No, wasn't he a professor? Robert Langdon is...
A Department of Archaeology.
No, he's not. No. No.
Department of Archaeology.
He teaches religious iconology.
Okay, fine. You're right. I can't... You're right. I can't name another archaeologist.
Yeah, I know. I searched famous archaeologists...
Yeah, what'd
and
you get?
And I don't know who any of the top five people
are. Well, they're not characters.
Howard Carter, Mary Lakey, Lewis Lakey, Heinrich Schliemann, and Arthur Evans. You can't name another famous archaeologist, can you? So when I Googled famous fictional archaeologists...
Number one was...
What we got here Indiana are... Jones. Well, I got Indiana Jones, Benjamin Gates. Can who? You name the movie?
No.
National Treasure.
Oh, Nathan Drake. Duh!
Nathan Drake, which is from the Uncharted games on PlayStation. Number four on this list of eight famous fictional archaeologists who suck at their jobs on cracked.com.
Yeah.
Number four, I can't find the character's name, but it was the lead character in Relic Hunter portrayed by Tia Carrere.
Incredible. Okay. Anyone else?
And then we got everyone in The Mummy. Everyone in The Mummy. So I guess the Rachel Weisz character
was an archaeologist. So everyone in The Mummy but The Mummy.
And Lara Croft. Archaeologist.
Lara Croft is an archaeologist?
Mm-hmm. I forgot Lara Croft was an archaeologist. And I played all the new games.
Arguably, Lara Croft and Indiana Jones are in Indiana the same Jones. Realm. The two most famous archaeologists.
Top, they're both top tier. They're top tier.
Yeah. And National Treasure, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I love National Treasure.
Me too. Oh, my God. Next
call.
It so much.
Next call. Next call. Next call. Next call.
National Treasure is not... I got to watch National Treasure. It's not really... I got to watch it. I got to rewatch it.
Hi, guys. It's Eric. Okay. So... The Cheetah Girls, as you, like, might know, are kind of a them to younger millennials. Like, personally, they were my, like, early childhood gay obsession. So, the fourth one is Sabrina Bryan. She's, like, a them to us. If you're a Cheetah Girls fan, obviously all of the Cheetah Girls are them. But here's the thing is, I think if they did a Cheetah Girls reunion, weirdly enough, the most expendable one would be Raven because... The other three, like, made music without Raven as the Cheetah Girls, and their third movie, Cheetah Girls, One World, didn't even have Raven in it at all. And, like, as we know, Cheetah Girls, One World was, like, a big plot point on an episode of Keeping Up with Kardashians because Adrian never told Rob she was going to India. Anyway, all of that is to say, Cheetah Girls reunion probably can't happen because we do need... that core three, and then Raven would be like an added bonus, and we can't have the core three because Adrian and Keeley can't settle things. They're promises. Anyway, live in La Vida Laptop. Bye.
Good information. That's good. From an actual fan to know that Raven matters least.
Well, that's the thing. It's insightful. Like a true fan knows that because Raven wasn't even really involved in the musical after party and also the third movie, Cheetah Girls mm-hmm. One World, that it's like Raven is actually kind of expendable to the Cheetah Girl canon.
This obviously isn't the truth, but to me, this revelation is like, I mean, I as a Sex and the City fan, I know this is not true, but if I had never watched it and someone were like, oh, no, but the thing is, Carrie's not really the lead. Like, you could make the show without Sarah Jessica
right,
Parker and it would be fine.
That's not true.
I know that that's not true, but that's how shocking it is to me to know that Raven is not important in the Cheetah Girls, like, universe.
Raven
or
ditched,
that important.
Raven ditched the group, like, even earlier than we thought. Mm-hmm. We knew that she got out of Dodge, but it was even sooner than we had thought or like knew from basically the Wikipedia, let's be real.
Dodge's sister city, like really gay sister city.
Also called Dodge.
Also called Dodge. I love baby name changes.
Hi, Who Weekly. Amy Schumer changed her baby's middle name when she realized that it sounded like genitals. And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Whoa.
We asked for more baby name changes last week, weirdly. And then this week, literally a few days later, Amy Schumer was like, oh, wait, I named my baby Genital by accident, which is like funny to me. But when she had the baby, this was already something that we, the audience, were talking about.
You know what my conspiracy theory is?
What?
I think this was phase two of her two-phase plan. I think that she was always going to do this.
Right. The plan was it'd be funny to name our baby Genital. And then that's what I thought. I thought like,
have people notice it. Yeah. And then we already have the other baby name in our back pocket and then we're going to change it. Like, I think that's absolutely what happened.
Yeah.
As adults, we all know people who have had babies and we know what they go through when they're thinking of the name and we know what the drama is. We know what the middle name drama is. Like, you know, the like how lyrical it is to go from first name to middle name. Like, we know that so much thought is put into this.
Right.
Like, you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that an actual famous person who understands that all their choices are going to be scrutinized more so than a non-famous person would be putting into this shit.
Right.
This is a lie.
Right.
This is Amy Schumer doing performance art.
Right.
Also, she's promoting a podcast. So
yeah, it's you know what, it's really smells, it's really obvious that it's a joke.
Stinky.
I mean, it's a good it's a good joke, like it is, but it is definitely mm-hmm. not something that I want you guys to take seriously.
But she's doing a bit. Yeah,
it's
she's
a bit. Doing a bit. Yeah, it's stinky.
Hey, Who Weekly, long time. As someone who worked on two seasons of At Dottard, I'm honored at the show was mentioned on your show. The ranking of the birthdays is definitely relevant to how popular each Quint is on the show. Like, Hazel is everyone's favorite, and everyone forgets about Olivia, who was ranked last. And also, I came up with the title Tornado Warning. All right, crunch, crunch.
I love this. I love this.
I
love this. I
like
this.
That this 5-year-old girl is like objectively everyone's favorite of the five.
I just
Hazel,
love
Hazel, absolutely the best.
When a hooligan's like, this is my life's work, and thank you so much for talking about it.
And then we have this one, which, you know, these Busby Quint fans are coming out of the woodwork. Okay, this one.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. So I'm sorry that I know this, but I think I might have some insight onto why the Busby Quints are ranked the way they are on Famous Birthdays. So Hazel is the only redhead of the bunch. The other ones are all blonde, and she also has glasses, so she's very distinctive looking. And Riley is very assertive and spunky. And I think the other ones just kind of blend together. So I think that's why the rankings are the way they are. Let them move you to laptop.
I'm obsessed. Yeah, another perfect call about the fucking outdaughtered Quints.
Okay, next call.
What about Louisa Jacobson, who is actually Louisa Jacobson Gummer and also went to Vassar and then Yale Drama, but dropped the Gummer and is also an actress. She is probably the third, the Kevin of the three. Crunch, crunch, he in the house.
Wow, there's a third Gummer woman. There's also a Gummer boy, mm-hmm. but there's a third Gummer woman who dropped Gummer. She was like, I want nothing to do with this. Dropped Gummer.
Well, I think she knows. I think she knows. And we've said this in the podcast. I do earnestly believe Gummer isn't doing either of those women any favors when it comes to like
it certainly being is famous. Not. And neither would Streep. I'm just saying you have to just abandon all hope of Gummer or Streep.
She's like, ding, 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 Jacobson, Jacobson, Jacobson.
She was a model and she attended the British American Drama Academy in Oxford.
No, but then she did, as the caller brought up, she literally went to Vassar and then she went to Yale. That's what her mom did. The other two girls did not go to formal acting school. They like majored in acting at their respective colleges and universities.
So you think Louisa is the dark horse?
I don't know that Louisa is the dark horse because I think that Louisa has always been the planned ascendant one,
but
like the one to take her place in the throne.
But to us, it's like we never saw her coming because we didn't even know she was a Gummer. But you know she's going to get that press.
No, because we've talked about them all. She's just so much younger than the other two.
Okay, but she is. So her first like major role hasn't even happened
it's
yet.
A major role. It's a major role.
Well, she's going to be in an HBO show with Cynthia Nixon and Christine Bransky called The Gilded Age. Julian Fellowes. HBO. Yeah,
Julian Fellowes.
Series. Who knows when that's coming out, but that is like the first thing that if we hear stuff about her, it's like, oh, the third Gummer sister, here she comes, like Meryl Streep's daughter, it would be because of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You know what I want to watch? Now that I'm thinking of Julian Fellowes, because I was never a Downton Abbey person, mm-hmm. but you know what would be a great quarantine watch that I don't know if it's streaming anywhere and I might just have to buy it? Another great plane movie that I watch on the plane a lot because it's always on the plane. It must do well on planes. Oh, it's streaming on Showtime. Gosford Park.
Oh, Gosford Park is great.
I love Gosford Park. It's like one of those like long, meandering, talky, beautiful movies that you can just like have on a Saturday afternoon. Ugh. Might have to watch Gosford Park this weekend. But anyway, so this is really funny. You have this really good headline here from 2014. Remember The Giver? I don't. Meryl Streep is almost upstaged by her very stylish model daughter, Louisa Gummer, at the Giver premiere in New York. I remember this being a big deal. This was sort of her coming out party.
Oh, the Gimmer. You remember when she attended the Giver premiere?
Yeah, because this headline was not alone. This headline was not alone. This headline was all over the place because I feel like maybe 2 years before that was when the girls started sort of appearing around her as a unit, and there were a lot of those, you know, bustle BuzzFeed stories like Meryl Streep has three mini-me daughters, blah, and also Henry, also the dude.
The true funny thing about this headline is that she really is upstage. Like the daughter is standing in front of her and is like, "I'm a model," and Meryl's like, "I'm just trying to be Meryl, excuse me," and the daughter's like, "I'm a model."
But the thing is, like, Meryl's not getting upstaged. This is exactly like...
No, she's not.
This is exactly what Meryl wants. Meryl is loving the fact that her daughters are getting attention. That's what she wants. She's like, wow, I have talented, beautiful daughters. Yes, I am that great. Ugh.
I did not follow her private Instagram, although I was tempted to request a follow from Glamisa, her private Instagram. Glamisa.
You found her old Twitter account that she hasn't updated since 2012.
It might not be her.
Who would be faking? Who, apart from me, would be faking a Louisa Jacobson Gummer Twitter account in 2010?
Well, the same person who has Louisa Gummer fan page on Instagram and also has Meryl Streep Forever fan page and also has Sandra Bullock Forever fan page.
Yeah, and guess what? They call them fan pages.
So
no one's actually pretending to
Louisa
be Louisa Gummer
J.
unless
Gummer
you're Louisa Gummer.
Is the real Louisa Gummer on Twitter.
Yeah. I think so. She stopped tweeting in 2012.
But the tweets get a little like, who is this?
The last tweet is her misquoting you da one. You are da one that I think of always. that's not quite right. You're really close, but that's not quite right.
And she tweets at her sister Grace, who supposedly was at @its_gray. But I don't believe that either. I don't really know either.
I believe all of this. Like,
the
yes,
tweets are bad.
Yes. Did I fake a Maggie Gyllenhaal Facebook account in 2005? Absolutely I did. And did people actually believe it was Maggie Gyllenhaal? They sure fucking did. But
that's
because
you're talented.
A rarity.
I'm
very talented.
That's because you're talented.
Yeah, that was back before they made you like verify things. This is the last thing I want to say about Louisa Gummer, which is something that should be illegal. In 2019, she starred as Juliet in the Old Globes production of Romeo and Juliet. I'm sorry. Meryl Streep's Yale School of Acting, Yale School of Drama daughter should not be getting lead roles in Romeo and Juliet at the San Diego Globe Theater.
Okay.
That's fucked up.
San Diego Globe Theater? It's not like the old Globe that Shakespeare made.
But San Diego's like a feeding ground.
Well,
it's like a.
She went to Yale.
Once again, nepotism is real. Be allowed to have children if you are a famous actor. Meryl Streep should not have been allowed to have children. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that's the rule. Can we move on, please?
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets. I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear. Because Quince offers free shipping and 365 day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince. Normally. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365 day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/who.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. Long time. I'm calling because I'm listening to Tuesday's episode where you talk about Zac Efron-less Breaking Free. I would like to remind you that it's already Zac Efron-less because Drew Seeley sang for Zac Efron during High School Musical 1 because Zac Efron could not hit the high notes. So Zac is lip syncing and it is our Disney Channel King, Drew Seeley, who is actually singing. So it's already Zac Efron-less. I just thought I should let you know that. All right. Crunch,
me angry. A lot of geniuses pointed this out. Yes, it is true. The irony of literally the whole situation, our whole gag, is that High School Musical 1 was Zac Efron-less in its nature because he didn't sing in the thing. It's the guy who wrote, the guy who co-wrote Get Your Head in the Game, Drew Seeley, is the voice. I guess it's blended with Zac Efron's voice, quote unquote blended. Mm-hmm. But he probably just sang over like some sort of track and they you know, lowered his volume substantially. Yeah.
I found a story on planetradio.co.uk.
Sure, my
headline.
Favorite.
Here's the real reason Zac Efron didn't sing in High School Musical.
What's the real reason?
Some bits from the interview, and he says, an interview with the Orlando Sentinel in 2007, in which Zac said, that was a very huge point for me. I had to put my foot down and fight to get my voice on these tracks. He's talking about High School Musical 2. In the first movie, after everything was recorded, my voice was not on them. I was not given an explanation. It just kind of happened that way. It put me in an awkward position. It's not something I expected to be addressed. Then High School Musical blew up. I'm very fortunate Drew has gotten proper credit, and also that I've gotten the opportunity to come back and try again with my own voice. He's very talented. I consider myself a regular kid that can carry a tune.
That's actually a good statement.
It's a good statement. And that was 2007. Zac has been a pro for a long time.
He's a nice voice. So I guess he just needed some practice.
He does.
Practice.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Your discussion about mixing up celebrity names got me thinking of a mix-up I had that doesn't have to do with names, but it has to do with the Oscar-y 2015 movies Brooklyn and Carol. They're both set in the 1950s and have to do with New York, and I watched Brooklyn thinking it was Carol, and I got about halfway through, and the whole time I was just wondering, where are the lesbians? And that's when I figured it out, halfway through. All right, thank you. Bye.
Why won't she get with this nice Italian guy? Like, what's the problem with this guy?
We're the lesbians.
And I forgot she's also like a shop girl in that movie, just like Therese. Yeah.
So do you think, oh yeah, so this watcher was like, oh, here we go, when she got to the shop and then nothing happened.
Here we go. It's just not going to work between you and the Italian, honey. It has nothing to do with his heritage.
Where is this hot lesbian action? It's like 4 hours into Brooklyn, because Brooklyn is so long.
When's she going to meet some hot lady on that steamship?
Someone also called and said that they mixed up the River Wild and Mystic River. I was like, that is also like an unfortunate mix up.
Yikes. Okay. Last name blindness.
Hi, I'm calling with a name blindness moment. For a really long time, I used to think that Pine Bailey was T. Leone. That's it. Okay, bye.
Just, we haven't heard from Tyne Daly in a while, so I wanted to play that.
Tyne Daly and Tay Leone. Okay, makes sense. But
big difference.
Gorgeous saying both their names in a row is fun. Tyne, say it. Do it.
Tyne Daly, Tay Leone. Ooh. Oh, that is nice. Tyne Daly, Tay Leone.
Gorgeous. Okay.
I'm going to do ASMR like Jimma. Tyne Daly, Tay Leone.
How do you feel?
Tyne Daly.
How do you feel after doing that?
No, I feel nice.
Okay.
I feel good.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's move on to questions. Okay. Almost an hour into this.
Yeah.
We could talk about the next call for 6 hours.
I know. That's the problem. What's coming up is equally.
Hey, Who Weekly. Long time. I'm sure you have gotten a couple calls about Anna DMS updates. Anna DMS blocking Anna D updates or whatever it is. And I was wondering, what are some other public, like, unstanding or the fan, like, the star not loving the fans? I'm trying to think of some. I know, like, Kendall Jenner, like, her stan account unfollowed her or something a while ago. That's the only one I can really think of. I'm sure that you have way more knowledge about this. Crunch, crunch.
Okay. How do you even start? Like, how does this...
Let's answer her first. Let's get the follow-up question out of the way first, which is, like, instances of stan culture being a little too much and getting the actual subject of their standom annoyed.
It's happened many times.
Happens all the time. Yeah. I think most recent history is like Demi Lovato's a big instance of this.
Yeah.
Demi Lovato's huge on this.
Yeah.
And it just happened with, we just talked about it with Ariana Grande and her boyfriend. The stan accounts had to back down because they were giving too much information about Ariana Grande's new boyfriend.
I think there's a delicate balance of loving and hating your fandoms. You never want to admit you don't like your fandoms, but you also push back when necessary, and I think sometimes you take a stand depending on like what it is. But it seems like Ana de Armas is just like blocking willy-nilly, just blocking
and then,
blocking.
And there's never been a more iconic example of the artist being frustrated with the stans than this.
I knew this was coming.
Messages right now from people saying that I'm fucked up and I swerved you and I'm being rude and I'm being mean. Like, not for nothing, but I've been impressed since 8 o'clock in the morning. I have a whole day of interviews to do. I'm still doing them. I would never just walk by you and not
meet you. I could listen
to
this every day.
So to write that online is kind of fucked up. I have a lot more interviews to do and I promise I'm going to meet people. But please don't be mean to me. I have a very busy day too, okay? So it really makes me upset. Please don't be mean to me.
Please don't be mean to me. I have a very busy day too. Okay, said Ana de Armas to at Ana de Armas updates. Sorry, just Armas updates. Armas updates. Armas updates came into our world actually a little while ago because they were doing very good, steady, and reliable updates of the various paparazzi photos of Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck outside walking. They were like, they were on it. Every time they'd be out walking, we had this Twitter account that would note that as such. But they apparently crossed the line last week when they tweeted two photos of them out walking and wrote, Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck walk their dogs outside instead of praying for the pandemic to go away on Easter Sunday.
Which we talked about on the show.
Which we did talk about on the show because it was very funny. And I guess that crossed the quote-unquote line, even though
This account has been doing incredible, steady promoting of this woman with not much to work off of currently.
And also, like, it was a rare moment of, I don't know, levity for
it was funny.
This particular account. Like, they don't normally
they're not
go
funny.
For this tone.
They're just posting pictures of Ana de Armas.
And that caption isn't even necessarily mean. I don't even know what it is.
It's mean.
It's strange.
It's strange. It's so strange.
But it's also clearly a joke. I don't know.
So a few nights ago, they posted, "We've been blocked by Ana de Armas." Who knew Ana de Armas, A, had a Twitter, and B, blocked her number one fandom account on Twitter? The best part about this was it got out. It went crazy because it's just so funny. Oh my God, it's so funny.
Well, they had to post.
They posted a screenshot.
And then they posted the video screenshot of like them typing looking in the name and then proving that it was an actual blocking.
Right.
But they said breaking. All caps, breaking, colon. Golden Globe nominee and movie star Ana de Armas has recently blocked us.
Stop.
And then they followed that up with the video proof of Golden Globe nominee and movie star Ana de Armas blocking them.
Honestly, nothing.
And there it is.
They still have respect for their number one. The best part about this is all of the Stan armies were suggesting other people for them to stan. So you have like Stan J Law, Stan this one instead.
Stan Margot Robbie instead.
Incredible. You also have at the Seb News tweeting, "So sorry for your loss, Ana de Armas updates. Our thoughts and prayers are with you during these difficult times." That is the Sebastian Stan updates Twitter. You have Best of Pew, aka Florence Pew Daily, tweeting, "So sorry to hear about this, guys. Please stay strong in this difficult time." You have @_JLaw saying, "Damn, that sucks. Stan J Law." Then you have @RyderDyer saying, "Stan Natalie Dyer instead." And my favorite one was just by some Twitter @IceColdNovember saying, "Stan Dakota Johnson, maybe." To be fair, that's a good substitute for Ana de Armas.
I put this one in because of the Brooklyn Carol call, but @SaoirseLesbian says, @ArmasUpdates, "You're the only one I stan now." And it's like, what? I thought you stan Saoirse. What did Saoirse do wrong? You don't stan Saoirse? You don't want her to be a lesbian anymore?
Saoirse lesbian.
And then actually the best response is from a username @FlopBitch.
Oh, what a good one.
@FlopBitch says, @ArmasUpdates, literally who? Which is, could be any one of you, honestly. Which one of you is FlopBitch on Twitter?
I'm cracking up at everyone just coming out of the woodwork being like, stan this person instead.
Standing in solidarity with other updates Twitters is great.
And I love there's always, whenever they suggest to stan, there's always a compilation video that's like a carousel of images and set to, "I got hand in my mouth, my ass." That's always that song. But I really do feel for Ana de Armas updates or Armas updates because it's not even like this was a joke Twitter. Like they were doing consistently good work, like promoting their fave. Like they were doing TBTs when they didn't have any content. They were doing promoting what she was promoting. It's just like she really must be on one to cut off her big fans, number one fans.
Yeah. Did you know that Flo Milli, who sings the song you were just quoting,
I got it,
Beef Flow Mix, which is it's a big TikTok song, and also just our favorite Instagram account, Off Brand Heels, uses it in a lot of his videos.
That's what I got cash from my ad to my aunt. Like, what is this? Make it go fast.
her name is Tamia Carter. But she I guess the song got big enough that she did one of those genius videos where she breaks down the meaning of that song. I might play it here.
What's the meaning?
But
I can't wait to hear it.
But wait, let's actually see. I want to hear what she says. Let's hear some.
So it started when I was like at home one day. I was like depressed as fuck. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car, nothing. So rapping was like my only thing to do. So I was just smoking a blunt, and then I was on the floor in my room and I just turned on the beat and I just started, "I like cash in my hair to my ass, do the dash," and then that's how it came about.
Amazing. See? It's that easy.
Let's play some of it now.
cash in my hair to my ass. Do the dash, can you make it go fast? Fuck the fame, all I want is them bands. If she keep on mugging, I'ma steal her man. He watching my behavior cause he know I'm bad. Pussy put a spell on him, he in a trance. I do what I please and you do what I ask. He love my
confidence. Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Can you please explain why Bruce Willis is quarantining with Demi Moore and his adult children and some movie director? What is going on? Why is he not with his wife and his two small children? I mean, I'm quarantined with two small children right now, and if I could escape to a house full of grown-ups, I would. If I could avoid wiping butts all day, I would. Why is he with his adult children and his ex-wife? What is going on there? What do we think? Are they separated maybe? Is this like a trial separation? Please tell me what you think. Crunch, crunch, women do belong in balloons.
If you follow Demi Moore on Instagram, which a lot of people do, you probably noticed that Bruce and Demi and all of their kids, plus some other people.
I think it's like their sigos. I think it's like their boyfriends.
Okay.
I think Demi Moore has a really nice estate slash house in Ketchum.
Well, they're all in the house and they're all reading books together. They're reading a new Laura Day book together and they're all wearing matching pajamas.
They're doing a shtick. They're wearing pajamas. They're posing with shticks, like shit that's in the house. It's like they're posting photos.
The first brain is like, why are they all in the house together? They all have independent lives. And then the second brain is like, wait, why is Bruce Willis there? I thought they were divorced. And then the final brain is like, wait, Bruce Willis has his own other family with another wife and children who are young. Why isn't he with them?
I had forgotten that. I'd forgot. And it's not a new wife. It's an old, they've been together like 11 years.
This isn't new.
Yeah, it's like an old wife. They just have young kids.
It's an old wife. So he is married to a woman named Emma Hemming Willis. Emma Hemming, who was a model.
A model, you say? Interesting.
They have a couple kids together who are under 10. And he's not with them. And so people were like, what's going on here? And even Celebitchy wrote about it. With the headline, why isn't Bruce Willis quarantining with his wife and young daughters instead of Demi? And then People Magazine wrote about it. And then Emma was like, I need to let everyone know what's going on. So I'm going to quote them. It says, Emma wants us to know she is totally cool with everything. A family source told People, quote, Demi and Emma are close, and all three get on great as a big blended family. There are no issues at all. Emma needed to stay in LA with the young kids. Demi and Bruce have been best friends for years. They are very close. Okay, that's Emma's response, but it doesn't really explain anything. Emma needed to stay with the kids. So it's like, well, why didn't Bruce need to stay with the kids?
Well, that's the thing. So they live in Ketchum. Ketchum's in Idaho. And in the 90s, when they were together, they wanted to get away from LA. And so they bought a big estate in the Sun Valley area of Idaho, which is like a resort destination that actually celebrities had been moving to since the 30s. So the house is probably huge. It's like this huge estate. That's why so many people can be there. But you're right. There is... like, if you're so rich and famous, like, get that private jet back to LA to like be with your small kids and your wife who has to deal with them now. I'm sure there's a nanny situation intact, but anyways.
And now I'm thinking about like their marital conversation that they had where he's like, do you mind if I go to Idaho with Demi and the girls? And she's like, no, it's really fine. And he's like, no, because I can stay if you want me to. And she's like, Bruce, honestly, I'd prefer it if you went. And he's like, okay, yeah, I love you. I'll FaceTime you every day. And she's like, I know, okay.
Well, maybe
bye.
The thought,
go.
Okay, here's
she's probably
my...
like, ooh, I get the house to myself.
Well, here's my like thinking. This woman has help, you know, anyways. There's no way that this woman is by herself with the kids.
Bruce
she
is
has
rich.
The nannies. It's fine. And the other thing, the other thought is that because all of his older children are together, they're so rarely all together, maybe as a unit, that he was like, oh, it's a good opportunity to go hang out with my kids and their sigos and Demi, like, because they're all in Idaho together and it'll be fun and funny. And like, it's not like if he goes there that Emma's all alone with the kids. That's what you would think if you were a normal person. But actually, she just like has the nannies and is in LA, like doing her whatever her little her business is and like whatever. Do you know what I mean? That's, I think, the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're making it. We're projecting their situation onto ourselves, normal people, when really they don't have the situation we have at all and never would.
Babe, it's fine. Go to Idaho. Go to
babe,
Idaho.
Babe, I don't even really want you here. It's just, I got to get
that
done.
I prefer it, Bruce. Just
Bruce,
go.
Bruce, just go to fucking Idaho, okay?
So Rupert Grint, a.k.a. Ron from Harry Potter, is apparently expecting a baby with, quote, longtime love, Georgia Groom. Who's Georgia Groom? I've never heard of this person. Apparently she's an actress. No idea. Fun, fun.
Who's Georgia Groom?
I've never heard of this person. Apparently she's an actress. I'm obsessed with this call. It's so mean.
Apparently she's an actress is really good. She's like, she's been in a lot of things. A lot of things.
But she was in including one iconic thing and then kind of not as iconic things. Let's be.
Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging.
She was the star in that movie, which was like pretty popular, and then mm-hmm. nothing really else as big as that. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Even though she's working. We're being real.
We're just being
real. I've never seen that movie, but I know that it's like a big movie.
It's
and
cute.
You know who else? Her love interest in that movie is Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Right.
So I think that he
benefited.
He
more.
Got more famous than she did, I
right.
think.
Right. Even though she was technically the star.
Even though she was the star.
But she snagged Ron Weasley.
She did.
And he's very rich.
Those kids are so rich. Anyway,
they're
so she's
so
what,
rich.
Pregnant now?
Yeah, she's pregnant. And they're like, but what's cute is they're like the most British couple ever.
How do you mean?
Just like.
How do you mean, Lindsay?
Georgia Groom and Rupert Grint. I just like it.
The Daily Mail, they're also, just because the Daily Mail is so rude, I sent this to you yesterday, but the photo, so back in last year, actually, last April, there was a headline that said, Rupert Grint and Georgia Groom spark marriage rumors as actress wears a gold band on her wedding finger during
so
pub
rude.
Lunch. And it's the rudest photo, and they probably took 7,000 photos of this couple eating pub food and drinking beer outside this pub, but the one they chose to point out the fact that she was probably engaged was her biting her nails while smoking a cigarette, and it's literally like half the cigarette and most of it is ash, and it's like a zoomed in to her face,
so
scowling
rude.
Biting a nail, holding a cigarette, and there's a circle over the ring. It's like you had so many clean shots of this ring. You didn't need to use this rude one.
They're so
But why
rude.
Else is she famous? That's kind of it.
I mean, that's kind of it. They've been dating for like a long time, like years and
We've
years.
Almost certainly talked about this woman in the past just because like she's a big who and he's a big who.
We'll always be, you know, curious about the whereabouts of the Harry Potter kids. I mean, I guess Rupert Grint is probably the least famous of the three, the main three.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
By a mile. But.
Well, I think the main thing is like Daniel Radcliffe is like such a tryhard. Like he wants to be an interesting actor. He wants
he's
to be so
actor,
interesting.
Though, 'cause he's good.
And like I don't care about movies and blockbusters. So I can be in Swiss Army Man and I can be in
right,
Equus,
he can
whatever.
Afford to be in whatever he wants to be in.
Emma Watson is interesting because she's sort of a tryhard and wants to be a really famous and successful
but
movie
is not
actress.
A good actress.
And it's not working out. And then Rupert Grint's sort of like, eh. I'm rich.
That's
whatever.
What I
I'll
mean.
Take
right.
a thing here
he's
and there.
He's
like
the
iconic.
Ideal. He's the ideal yeah. one. Yeah.
Oh, Georgia. I love Georgia. I'm going to marry her.
Or just like, you know, living your best life. No pressure. Like kind yes. of. And I think it's true when you fall into a child role. I mean, fall into when you get a child role, it's, you know, it's your natural charisma. You're not like this like practice actor. You're not like studying your whole life to get this role. So it's
yeah,
a little bit
yeah.
more of like a. Not chance, but you have the look, you have the vibe, you have it's the timing, da da da. So like you could go anywhere from that. There's no predestined path. And like some of them turned out to be good actors, some of them turned out to be bad actors, tryhards. They all and he turned out to be, hey, I don't even know if I really like acting. I was just a kid. Or whatever. Watch Rupert Grint like working regularly and we both just like don't know about anything he's doing. Will you look him yeah. up?
I mean, he was in that show with Lindsay Lohan, that Sick Note show. Like he's still in stuff, but I think
there's no pressure.
There's not a desperation there. Like there is a desperation in Daniel Radcliffe because he wants to be seen as someone interesting, and there's a desperation with Emma Watson
right.
because she wants to be seen as talented. But I think Rupert Grint is just like, oh.
Yeah.
He exudes a much more like casual and chillax and unwindjalax like mentality.
Because you brought it up, there really is something so funny about the gap between Emma Watson and Daniel Radcliffe in terms of like,
You're right. Like, they both don't need to ever work again in terms of, like, acting. They can do whatever they want. And she is so desperate to be, like, a starlet, to be, like, an actress, to be A-list, whatever. And
I'm gonna put my books all around London.
I want a brand. I want to be smart. Yes, I want to be everything. And he's kind of like, I'm going to show my dick on Broadway. Like, I want to play a dead guy in an A24 movie. Yeah. I want to... Yeah. Like, just what is the weirdest possible shit that you can do and how off brand you can get? Like, he's going to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing, the difference.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I was just calling because I was just looking at my famousbirthdays.com for my birthday, which is July 3rd. And there's a person on there named LaToya J. Jackson, but it specifically says that she's 30 years old. Are there two people named LaToya Jackson? Also, is LaToya Jackson related to Michael Jackson? Oh, who are them? Good form, Bellathorn.
First of all, is the LaToya Jackson who is of the Jackson family? Who are them? 1, 2, 3.
Who?
Them?
She's kind of like one of our most iconic who's. Maybe she has Themmy name recognition, she's like a very famous who. Like, she always glommed off her family in like disrespectful ways. She had like she had every type of who project you could imagine. She had her own music career that was kind of floppy. She had a psychic hotline.
She was like one of the first true reality queens, you know.
She's a celebrity reality queen. She's kind of a queens. Campy, a gay camp star. Like, she. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think she's like, she's kind of the Tory Spelling of her.
LaToya Jackson is the perfect representation of problematic gay icon, because it's like the same person that you're like, yes, we stand Queen LaToya, where you're also sort of nervous she's going to call you the F word the whole time.
Shout out to our friend Paul Karp, who went through a big phase. I mean, he took me with him because I still think about it, where he listened to a lot of LaToya Jackson's music, and she has a song called like He's My Brother, and it's like, sometimes we fight, but he's my brother. And it's like about Michael Jackson. Do you know that song?
I know that song. I know, like, that song. So I'll good. Play a clip here.
Please play it. But it's like, it'll never leave my mind. It's so amazing. She had a lot of music, but that was like, she had a full album about Michael Jackson. He is my brother.
LaToya Jackson's whole life is either going on cable news and either fiercely defending her family or like fiercely dumping on them.
Yeah. She went back She went back and forth for ages. I mean, she literally never took a side. She always could be anything. Okay. So there's another LaToya Jackson though. Another LaToya Jackson. Mm-hmm. This is the Michael B. Jordan of LaToya Jackson's. Her name is LaToya J. Jackson, which just kills me.
But it's funny that it says the first line of her Twitter bio is former reality TV personality, which could be said about the other LaToya Jackson.
True. But that would not be what you would lead with.
No, she was on The Real World. A Real World season I did not watch.
She was on Real World St. Thomas, which, like, I don't even remember what season that was. Like, which number season was that?
I mean, watching a Real World Atlanta was an anomaly for me, and we only did it because they were a sponsor. And yeah, I liked it, but I was like, I haven't watched this in so long.
Sure, yeah, we did. I did watch that season on the one on Facebook, but before then, I hadn't been caught up, you know, obviously. I think it fell off, and it was also hard to watch MTV. So this is from MTV.com. This is her bio when she was on The Real World, and it's kind of funny. Don't let the name fool you. LaToya Jackson is not a member of that Jackson family. But this self-proclaimed head bitch in charge still has plenty personality to spare. What? Okay. Bubbly and energetic, Toya, as her friends call her, worked in local TV news, but soon realized she's meant for something greater. This is all boring, but she... she was on The Real World. She was also on, because now if you're on The Real World, honestly, I feel like the more popular shows are actually the challenges.
Everyone loves those more. Yeah.
So she was on three challenges. She was on Free Agents, Invasion of the Champions, and Dirty 30, and she won none of them.
She's about to turn 31, I believe. So she'll turn 31 in this year. So she was born in 89. Okay. She's born in 1989. In 1989, LaToya Jackson really wasn't a joke. You know, like, LaToya Jackson was just in the middle of her music career. She hadn't become the aggressive, my family hates me Jackson kid yet, which is kind of funny.
Weird.
And so it's like her parents were like, yeah, that we love LaToya Jackson. Like, it's fun. Like, the parents knew what they were doing when they named her LaToya Jackson, LaToya J. Jackson. But I don't think they could have predicted the trajectory the real or the other LaToya Jackson was going to take.
Right. They didn't know what they were setting herself up for to be named LaToya Jackson.
Like, in the mid-90s, they were like, yikes. We chose the wrong Jackson. We put our eggs in the wrong basket here. Yeah, like,
couldn't
here,
they have
you know?
Named her Janet Jackson or something?
Couldn't they have named her literally anything
Rebby
but
Jackson?
LaToya?
There's so many Jacksons. Yeah.
So.
It is weird to me, though. Can I just say quickly? It is weird to me that Michael B. Jordan has been able to overcome being named Michael Jordan. Like, how is Michael B. Jordan still named Michael Jordan? How did he
That's a really good question. And
just
I
take a step back.
I think the B
does a lot of work.
First of all, I think Michael B. Jordan, the B flows off the tongue. The B is much more elegant than like LaToya J. Jackson, you know? Like, that's not going to distinguish you. Michael B. Jordan.
Or is it just
that
we're
think
used
that
to
I think it adds enough of a it adds enough of a punctuation,
I mean,
to differentiate it from sport. Also, sport is it's a completely different industry, you know.
But when Michael B. Jordan first came on quote unquote the scene, I was like, there is no way that we're gonna let this guy whose name is literally Michael Jordan be a famous actor. And I was wrong. He's pretty famous.
Yeah, it worked out for him.
Michael
B.
Jordan. It's just weird to me that he didn't change it, that we, I don't know. It's so many actors go from like Robert Himmelfarb to like, you know, Joe Smith. It's like, you can't.
To Michael Keaton.
Yeah, that's like, you can't go. I mean, I know
and
why.
Michael B. Jordan was like, no, I'm doing this.
And they don't even care if you're Jewish in show business anymore. And they're still out here changing their names.
There's something to be said about his ego and his confidence because
yes.
B stands for Bakari. So, like, he could have just been Michael Bakari, and that's a unique, cool name.
Yes.
Like, that sounds like a big name.
Right.
I don't know. Like that could work.
Right.
But the fact that he was like, no, I'm going to be Michael B. Jordan is kind of cool. I don't know. There's something cool about it.
No, it definitely is impressive. That's just what, like, this made me think of that. I was just like, it's amazing that he got beyond that. And it seems almost like an unnecessary thing to put yourself through to try and get beyond Michael, being named literally Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like being named Jesus Christ. It's just like such a brand name. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Hello. I just had to stop the podcast because someone was having the name blindness with Lee Drummond, also known as the Pioneer Woman, which made me remember that the other day when I was in the grocery store, I saw that she has a line of frozen food now, including something called Cowboy Quiche. So, who are the who's and them's of frozen foods? So we've got like Amy's, Leanne, or no, Lean Cuisine. That's not a. Okay, I can't think of any other frozen foods. Bye bye.
To hear somebody having fun in the supermarket is so heartening.
Leanne's is so who's in them's. I was looking at like
Leanne's.
There are a lot of I think I do think
Leanne
that all
cuisine.
Of these frozen I looked at the list of frozen food brands, which included not just frozen dinners, as in like a
Leanne Cuisine. You know who
a Leanne Cuisine or
you
whatever.
Know who, zoomed to the top of that list? Amy's.
Amy's.
Amy's. Like woof. Those burritos
so I was
are
looking
everywhere.
I would call
Oneida?
A lot of these. I would call
Orida?
A lot of these Orida, but Orida's like just frozen potatoes.
Stouffer's,
like it's
Stouffer's?
Stouffer's. Stouffer's lasagna. There's a Amy's, I would say, is a them. Banquet, I would maybe say, is a who.
Who? That's a who.
Lean Cuisine. Leanne Cuisine is
cuisine.
Definitely a them.
Leanne Cuisine.
Kid Cuisine is definitely a them. Because those
what about
are
It's
iconic.
Not Delivery, it's DiGiorno.
DiGiorno, I think
what
is
about
definitely
Totino
a who.
Pizza Rolls?
What about Freschetta? Is Freshetta also a them, or is it a who?
That. What about Hot Pockets?
Freshetta was the DiGiorno competitor that was like, no, okay, we're fancier.
That's a who. That's a who for sure. Okay.
Marie Callender's, I would say, is a them.
You have to, this question is, she knows the question is terrible. That's why it's so funny that we're even answering it. But you have to separate them by like food type. You can't really go like, what's the overall food? It's like, oh, for pizzas. Oh, for like chicken.
Well, I think she specifically means frozen dinners, like the whole thing in the tray. And so I think you got your Weight Watchers is definitely a them.
Well, then Banquet and like Marie Callender's are like thems.
Yeah.
Smart
Lean
ones.
Cuisine, a them. Yeah, smart ones, them.
What?
Amy's, them. Kid Cuisine, them. But I think a lot of these, like Hungry Man Dinner, that's a them.
Hungry Man is a classic. I can't
all
get
these
over
are, like,
Leanne
I've never heard
Cuisine.
Of Michelina's.
Leanne Cuisine is so good. Okay.
She couldn't even keep going. Now, the real reason we played that call, not only because it's hysterical, is because it had this follow-up, and then after this, we're going to end the show.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. So my sister left you a rather deranged voicemail about the who's and them's of the frozen food aisle. And I know this because she called me immediately afterwards. And I don't think I've ever heard her laugh so hard thinking about the who's and them's of frozen dinners. And so I just want to thank you for bringing some joy into this very dark time. Your podcast is kind of the only one I can listen to right now. So thank you. Thank you for making my sister in Chicago laugh so hard. I'm sent to her sister in San Francisco. Bye.
I need to hear her say Leanne Cuisine one more time. Hold on.
Leanne. Or no, Lean Cuisine. That's not it.
I needed that laugh. Cause...
To go from it makes sense because she's going from Amy to Lean.
She's like, here's Susan, here's Jocelyn, here's Amy's, here's Leanne Cuisine. Honestly, just hearing somebody be joyful in a supermarket, it's like, I couldn't imagine. Couldn't be me.
I imagine watching this person, like, you're in your mask, you're 6 feet away, and you see this woman on her phone talking to the frozen.
Being like, Leanne. Okay,
oh
we
my
have
God,
to
my
end
stomach
this.
Hurts.
I know that was
thank
a good
you for
laugh.
Listening to, thank you for listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly, our twice weekly show. And if you subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/WhoWeekly, it's a 4 times weekly show and sometimes 5 times weekly show. Oh my God. And call us at 619-WHO-THEM if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Write a review of us on Apple Podcasts. Those are the best. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Bye. Hey.
Chewing food, handfuls of nuts.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Is Prop 8 the only them proposition?
Hi, Weekly. So I'm using quarantine to catch up on movies that I should have watched but never did. So I watched Good Will Hunting for the first time. And I have never been so shocked in my entire life to learn that this man's name was Will Hunting, and it wasn't about a movie about hunting. Like, I know that Good Will Hunting is a them, but I think that Will Hunting is a who, and I would love your input. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Apparently, Hugh Jackman has been married to some woman for 24 years. Who is she? Crunch, crunch. Live in the Vita laptop.